Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here's Dr. Michael Roizen.
This is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Wow, the show has gone fast. This is the second hour. If you're only in a station that plays the first hour, or the second hour, rather, you can get the first hour at RadioMD.com. Go there after about 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturdays, and it's usually up in a podcast format. You can listen to it. And, of course, if you're out of your local radio station's area, you can listen to us at RadioMD.com. But even better, in your local station, ask them to carry both hours. It's a great show, if I do say so myself. And today is even a better show because we've had two wonderful guests already. One talking about how to make Halloween fun for even children who have food allergies, and a great idea about the wonderful Great Pumpkin visiting you every evening of Halloween and taking out all the bad food, the food that might cause an allergy or an allergic reaction, and trading it for one big gift, such as a, if you will, a unique game that the person wants, or even a series of tennis balls or whatever, something that the person wants that is other than going to cause a food allergy, or even a food they love that they're not allergic to. So this is, again, Radio MD, where the call letters are Stay Well, and You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, where we help you take control of your genes so you can live at the highest level possible. The other guest we had in the first hour was Dr. Madeline Fernstrom, F-E-R-N-S-T-R-O-M, who has written a wonderful book, Don't Eat This If You're Taking That. That is what medications cause problems, and what you should do to avoid eating food that might cause an interaction with your medication. This hour we are featuring Dr. Gerard, G-A-R-R-A-R-D. Alex Gerard received his Doctor of Pharmacy degree from Mercer and his health science degree in from the Poison Control Information Center in Florida, Jacksonville, Florida. He's a diplomat of the American Board of Applied Toxicology, which means he's an expert at avoiding toxicity from medicines and the environment. He is managing director of the Washington Poison Control and a clinical professor, a clinical assistant professor at the University of Washington School of Pharmacy. But this is a very important subject, how to keep safe, if you will, on Halloween. And he now is in the American Association of Poison Control Centers, is really offering poison, Halloween poison prevention tips from its Alexandria, Virginia headquarters. So that's what we'll be talking about. We also have Gary Ginsburg at the bottom of the hour. We also have Gary Ginsburg at 17 after, who has some very, very interesting questions and answers. One of the questions about a apartment that was used on a fungicide. IAQ 2000 was used at the fungicide after a boiler blew up in the apartment above and leaked water down below. The people who clean up the water came in and used sand or something like that to soak up the water, but they also sprayed the sand with the fungicide. And so the question is, do you have to worry about that fungicide if you're in that apartment and sleeping, especially if one of you is pregnant? So that's the question. But in addition, there's a other wonderful set of articles that Gary sent along that he's going to talk about that I'm interested in learning about, one of which is, what does air quality have to do with developing brain dysfunction? And it is, in fact, the tip is, the children in Mexico and Beijing already are heading towards Alzheimer's if they have specific gene abnormalities because of the interaction of that gene, which isn't that uncommon, and the air pollution. A lot of them are developing that problem. Another one was arsenic in old cemeteries. The embalming fluid apparently leaks and comes back to bite drinking water, and a Denmark retailer gets rid of PFCs from microwave popcorn. Can all of us do that? And of course, there's a seasonal tip from Dr. Gary Ginsberg. We'll tell you about that in about 5 minutes when Gary's on with us. In the meantime, I'm going to cover most of the standard medical stories of the week as fast as I can. This one is, and I'll just, if I can, go through these in a fairly fast way. The first story is about how does diet in childhood can affect your life. Well, it turns out that the more fruit and vegetables you eat in childhood, the more you'll eat later on, and the lower your risk of coronary artery disease or calcium in key arteries in your heart and brain. So that's good news. Start early. The more fruits and vegetables, the healthier your arteries will be 18 and years later. Pretty amazing that you can predict that just by what you're fed in childhood. Scientists have found another reason we should be drinking more milk. That is weight loss. But it really depends if you substitute healthy for unhealthy. That is, saturated fat and maybe the milk protein are maybe not healthful, but are more healthy than things that are substituted for them, like trans fat or simple carbohydrates. So the point is not that you should eat saturated fat or whole milk, but that if you're substituting for whole milk, you want to have skim milk plus something else, such as a vegetable or fruit, so that the calories you have are healthy calories. Another part of it, and this is an ugh, this is a company that is just starting out, and so you wonder how much of this is due to the company starting it out, but it was Clear Alert. Clear Alert did some work on turkey dogs. And this is a very interesting thing. What's the chance I should get Jim Graham on here, who often eats turkey dogs as a substitute for hot dogs? But it is, what's the chance a turkey dog is really vegetarian, or a vegetarian hot dog is really vegetarian? Well, according to Clear Labs, which is a food analytics startup, so question, you got to worry about that. Are they really that? 10% of vegetarian hot dogs contained red meat. That was by DNA sampling. That's how they do it. It also, talking about this human and cleanliness, 2% of its hot dog samples contained human DNA, meaning they weren't purely processed. And 14.4% of the hot dogs and sausages tested were problematic for cleanliness. They did say that the large firms, the firms that had larger quantities, such as Butterball, McCormick, Estridge, and Hebrew National, had much higher scores of safety and much less contamination of their vegetarian foods with red meat, and no contamination with cleanliness. So that's our Butterball, McCormick, Eckrich, E-C-K-R-I-C-H, and Hebrew National. Those are the firms we'd let advertise, for example, on this station, at least during my show, or like to have advertised if they were going to, because at least their vegetarian dogs are better. Another story on chronic pain. Chronic pain causes more psychological distress than rheumatoid arthritis. So this is a study looking at the amount of psychological distress caused by different diseases. And you'd expect that pain would cause a problem. But I wouldn't have expected that rheumatoid arthritis, because it is chronic, to have a greater level of psychological distress. But in terms of this, when you look at the number of different patients, chronic pain was worse. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, with my favorite segment, Dr. Gary Ginsberg, What's Toxic and What's Not. Stay tuned.
The all-important family meal. dinner just got happier and healthier. Why? Because kids are begging for crunchy, out-of-this-world, yummy, healthy veggie fries. Yep, they're healthy because they're made with real vegetables. You can choose from broccoli or carrot, chickpea and red pepper, or kale and Tuscan bean, or choose all four. Veggie fries are gluten-free, a good source of fiber, and an excellent source of vitamin A, C, and K. Plus, they're very low in sodium. Veggie fries are a parent's dream for their family. Hey, and parents love them too. So if you want to hear more veggies, please, at your dinner table, look for them in the freezer section of your favorite supermarket or natural food store. For more about veggie fries, please go to eatveggiefries.com. Veggie fries.
Packing for a trip? I know that many travelers like you wish there were more options to stay healthier and happier away from home. Enter Even Hotels with a wellness-savvy staff, a best-in-class fitness experience, healthier food choices, and natural, relaxing spaces. There's no excuse to miss your workout there with fitness options for core, cardio, and strength from their best-in-class athletic studio to the in-room training zone. Eat well while on the road with an abundance of simple, natural, good choices, including customized menu items, freshly prepared food for specific diets, and healthy grab-and-go items. Enjoy premium amenities to wash away the stresses. And finally, at the end of every day, you can rest easy on their premium sleep system that features natural eucalyptus linens and pillow choices to accommodate every type of sleeper. If you can't stay with them at one of their locations, enjoy helpful tips from their wellness travel site, wellwellwell.com. Discover Even Hotels.
Where do you want to go to lunch?
I'm having a stroke.
Did you hear what I said?
I'm having a stroke.
Why aren't you answering me?
I'm having a stroke.
What's up with your face?
I'm having a stroke.
That's not normal. Is something wrong?
I'm having a stroke.
Are you having an allergic reaction?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear.
I'm having a stroke.
You just need to know the sudden signs. Look for FAST, F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. Or S, speech difficulty. Then T, time. Time to call 911 immediately, because the sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in their recovery. Know the sudden signs. Face, arm, speech, time. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Each year, millions of people fall for dangerous fad diets and bogus weight loss products. Here's how to separate facts from fad. This is registered dietitian Melissa Joy Dobbins for the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics with your Eating Right Minute. Fad diets give lots of promises and few results. Some are even dangerous. Remember these warning signs. A guarantee of rapid weight loss is a red flag. For long-term success, aim to lose about 1 pound per week. Never follow a diet that bans an entire food group or one that allows you to only eat from one group. Finally, there is no proof that eating specific foods at certain times of the day will help with weight loss. To create an eating plan just for you, see a registered dietitian and visit www.eatright.org. Encouraging you to eat right, I'm registered dietitian Melissa Joy Dobbins with the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics.
RadioMD.com. It's your life, your health, it's your show. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to my favorite segment of the show, which is when Gary Ginsberg joins us with What's Toxic, What's Not. But so far, we're missing Gary Ginsberg. So, Gary, if you're come on anytime. I'd love to hear it. But one of the things that he did cite as one of the topics he wanted to cover was that Mexico City air pollution is now threatening the children. It affects parents and children, according to this new study in the Journal of Alzheimer's Research. What they did is they looked at specific genotypes in Mexico, and there is a genotype, the APOE4 protein, the APOE4. And Gary, talk to us about the APOE4 and air pollution.
Well, yeah, we don't normally think about Alzheimer's disease as being something you look for in children. And, but a lot of, more evidence is coming out that early life exposures can, lead to surprising connections to later life disease. And maybe, you know, I don't want to say that, what we do in early life is the most important thing, because it's always good to think about prevention later in life too, like stopping smoking cigarettes will help decrease your lung cancer burden. But, nevertheless, early life exposures do seem to be playing a more important and prominent role in later life disease. So here we have a case of air pollution in Mexico City, a place still known to be burdened by meteorological conditions and a lot of traffic and poorly controlled sources, leading to, in certain genetically predisposed children, those with the genotype, the variant, which tends to lead towards an increased risk of Alzheimer's in animal models, also increased risk of various hyperlipidemias and cardiovascular disease, which may be a contributing factor for Alzheimer's. So poorer regulation of blood lipids. And in those children with the genetic variant that leads to poor control of blood lipids, they seem to be doing worse. And having in the hippocampus some biochemical changes in the hippocampus, which are pre-Alzheimer's. So, of course, this could be the beginnings of a prospective analysis. It was only 50 or 60 children, so not a big N, so to speak, but a very intriguing connection between the environment, genetics, and Alzheimer's in a very young population.
So this is a really interesting study, because when you think about it, there are certain areas both in the United States and especially in many foreign countries, such as in China, where air pollution, as they become industrialized, is a real problem, and it could interact with their genetics to promote a disease, and in this case, a pretty significant one, Alzheimer's, with the APOE4 children.
Yeah, now, we don't know exactly what about Mexico City's environment that would lead to this high risk. You know, it could be PM, but don't forget that they have lead in their gasoline until 2000 in Mexico. And so there's still, you know, in places where there's high air pollution today, there's still high lead in the streets and higher lead in the children. So maybe this is a connection to lead exposure. Who knows? It's early on in terms of making that environment to genetic connection, but there does look to be some kind of connection, because the kids who had lower air pollution levels in the more rural places didn't have those hippocampal changes.
I'm sorry, Gary, there was a really interesting question we were sent to by a listener who said the boiler in their apartment above blew up last night, leaked water into their apartment, did some significant water damage in both the apartment above and theirs. The management responded immediately and got put sand down, apparently, and tried to soak up all the water. And then apparently this morning they had a group come in to take care of it and get rid of the remains, etc. And they said they used a fungicide. And when they asked them what the fungicide...
I wouldn't normally recommend that, especially early on when you think you've caught the moisture problem and nipped it in the bud. There's really no reason for a fungus. I mean, that's, you know, precautionary, but you're putting down a chemical that may volatilize and lead to an exposure. So if it's already been put down, I would just say ventilate a lot in the first month, and because that's when most of the off-gassing will occur. And
so it was a benzo ammonium chloride.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, that's the quaternary amine, which on the skin has been used in some, like, topical anti-infectives and lotions even as a preservative. There, it's really being phased out. But if all it is BAC in, as a fungicide, that's pretty mild fungicide for it to be in a paint. It's not that volatile. So that's probably okay. Some of the other fungicides that are more pesticidal, we have seen problems with those, but BAC probably isn't a big deal.
Gotcha. Thank you very much for that for our listener. Now, the other thing is you recommend something at this time of the year for everyone.
Yeah, it is the season to make sure your furnace is tuned up. And what made me think about it, besides the colder weather and the insulating around the windows, the furnace is going to start kicking on more, or whatever heating system you've got. So if you've got a wood stove, pellet stove, make sure the chimney is clear, cleaned out, you're not getting a backing up of gases coming back down the chimney. Or if it's the furnace in the basement, make sure that that's tuned up. There's no obstruction. Sometimes people do remodeling projects down in the basement or somewhere else in the house that could create a backup in the basement. So just, the people from the oil or gas company will come out and make sure the equipment's working right. It's a really good thing to do once a year and make sure the gases are going where they need to go and not building up in your basement, because, of course, what we're worried about is carbon monoxide, which is the silent killer, the kind of thing you can go to sleep and never wake up from. Which reminds me that it's also a good time of the year to make sure your carbon monoxide detectors are working with new batteries, so you don't have to worry about it all winter long. You know it's running. You can sleep well at night knowing that if there is a problem, the alarm will go off. This is the time of year to take those precautions. And you know what made me think about it even more, Mike, was the Super Bowl, not Super Bowl, the World Series outage the other night. The feed went out because the number one generator went out and the number two generator on the truck went out, the backup, so they lost all their power. And, of course, we might lose power this time of the year. We had a crazy, Halloween snowstorm up here in New England, knocked out power to millions of homes, right on Halloween 2 years ago, I think it was now, maybe 3 years ago. And this is the season where we're also going to get more of that kind of power outages. So if you do have a generator, make sure you know how to operate it. Make sure you're going to have it at an outdoor or, shed type place where it's fully vented. You don't want those gases coming back up into your house.
Now, Gary, so the reason to tune up the furnace is both to make sure you don't have toxicity and to make sure it's more efficient. So
exactly.
And the other thing that you said was really important, since tonight is, time when you turn your clock back an hour. Every time I turn my clock back or forward an hour, we check our safety checks, both the fire alarm and the carbon monoxide one, to make sure they're working.
Exactly.
Now, there's one more thing, Gary. You've got a couple more here, but arsenic in old cemeteries. Can we do that in a minute?
Yes. So back around the Civil War days, morticians would be out in the battlefield and would contact the families. And if the families had the money to ship the body back home rather than a local
burial. Gary, we're going to have to pause and have that next week because we're run out of time. Thanks very much. My favorite segment with Dr. Gary Ginsberg, whatstoxic.com. What's toxic, what's not. We'll be back next.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herbs or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support to weight management to nervous system support to detox and cleansing and more, Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving them to his family from the very start. You can find Michael's products at your local health food store, your favorite online retailers, or visit michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation today. That's M-I-C-H-A-E-L-S health.com.
It's illegal and dangerous for teens to drink any alcohol and then drive. Still, 1 in 10 high school teens drank and got behind the wheel of a car in 2011. If you're a parent, be aware that when teens drink, it's usually to get drunk. Teenagers can't legally buy alcohol, but many get it from their homes or the homes of their friends. Drinking and driving is never okay. Make sure your teenager has a safe way to get home in case they're out with a teen driver who's been drinking. Put this in a parent-teen driving agreement, which should also include wearing a seatbelt and following their state's graduated driver licensing laws every time they're behind the wheel. Find a sample at www.cdc.gov/parents-are-the-key. Parents really are the key to safe teen driving. Learn more at www.cdc.gov/vital signs.
Radio MD.
Melanie Cole's Health Radio.
What does the word organic really mean?
So organic really means there's a lot of human labor put into the food that you're consuming. So it could mean there's no pesticides that are applied to seeds and to plants. There's no antibiotics or growth hormones, that are being used in animal products. And it also, in most cases, means that there's no GMO seed that's being used.
Become a healthier you 5 days a week.
What's GMO? What does non-GMO mean?
Okay, so GMO, this is a good one. So GMO stands for genetically modified organisms. So the question is whether or not a seed or a plant has some genetically modified gene in it.
It's health delivered daily. Listen live every Monday through Friday at noon Eastern on RadioMD.com, iHeartRadio, or the free TuneIn Radio app.
Can you tell if the surfaces in this kitchen are crawling with bacteria that could cause chronic arthritis? Listen. Can't, can you? You can't see it either. Wash surfaces, utensils, and hands frequently with soapy water while preparing food, especially when handling raw meats or eggs. Raw food may contain bacteria that can make you very sick or worse. 1 in 6 Americans will get sick from food poisoning this year, and roughly 3,000 will die. But you can keep your family safer by cleaning with soap and water as you go. Learn more about this and other important information. Check your steps at foodsafety.gov. That's foodsafety.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
And this is Dr. Mike Roizen. You're listening to Radio MD, where we hope you stay well. And us at You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, a passionate show that lets you take control of your health so you can live at the highest part of your curve. Part of that, you've already heard from Dr. Gary Ginsberg on whatstoxic.com when he said, at this time of year, you want to have your furnace inspected and you want to change the batteries in your carbon monoxide and your fire alarm, smoke alarms, because you're about to fall back and get an extra hour of sleep. Might as well use it to good measure. And for good measure, we have someone who's outstanding. Dr. Alexander Garrard is the toxicologist in chief for the state of Washington. And he's brought to us, if you will, by courtesy of the Washington State Poison Center. But he's also, it's brought to us by the American Association of Poison Control Centers, AAPCC.org, American Association of Poison Control Centers, to talk to us about tips of poison prevention on Halloween. Alexander Garrard, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Now, Tell me, why are there increased poisonings on Halloween that are accidental, or is poisoning a year-round phenomenon, or is there some seasonality to it?
Well, you know, for sure, there's definitely some seasonality to poisonings, and it's kind of true. You know, even around the full moon, we start seeing more poisonings and exposures go up. People get a little bit more curious about trying different things. But especially when we're talking about pediatrics and kids, you know, we see a lot of that stuff, poisonings, if you will, around Halloween, just because there's so many treats, so many items that kids can get into, and oftentimes the parents are so busy trying to keep track of where everybody is that often, you know, they may happen to overlook that, you know, something's laying out on the countertop and the child gets into it. So we definitely see that, and we have some concerns and tips, safety tips for parents and kids that are going to be trick-or-treating around this holiday.
So let's go over some of those safety tips. What's your favorite one?
Well, you know, especially coming from Washington State, one of the things that I like to emphasize is just make sure you know what you're getting. So it's really, really important for parents to kind of, you know, go through the candy that their kids are getting from people in the neighborhood, what have you, and make sure that these are actually true products and not really homemade products. So you want to make sure that it has, like, it's a recognizable label. It's not really a homemade edible or homemade candy bar or anything like that, because you can't ensure the quality and the safety of those products. So I think that's probably one of the number one tips that I would give to parents. Just know what your kids are getting into and make sure that you check it before they start eating it.
So one of the, it's actually, we got a question, says he's from Washington State. Do they put marijuana in their candy up there? And what do kids have to know about that?
Yeah, so, you know, that is certainly a thought that we had and that we had concern about last year, especially when those shops opened up. We did not have any cases like that in the state where perhaps marijuana made its way into the candy supply. The marijuana that is available for purchase is highly regulated. It's very well labeled that it does contain marijuana. But what we do encourage is a more general message is, again, for parents to look at the candy, make sure that it's not a homemade product, that it is a recognizable logo and brand of candy. Because, again, you never know. I'm not saying that they're necessarily, we're not expecting or anticipating malicious marijuana candies given out. But for a lot of homemade products, you never can ensure exactly what's in it. So it's certainly something we're keeping an eye out on. It's not just in Washington State. There are a number of other states where this perhaps might be a point of discussion. But even just, like I said, in general, you never know what you're going to get. So you just want to make sure that the check that it's a recognizable label and that it doesn't look like it's been tampered with at all either.
Now, what about the makeup one uses for Halloween costumes and the substances in the Halloween costume itself?
Yeah. So, you know, the makeup itself, for the most part, it's been approved to be safe for use and such, but especially in young kids, you never really know how it's going to react or if they've never really worn makeup before or face paint or what have you. So it's really important to test it out first before actually applying it on the face. So we usually recommend testing out on a small piece of the arm so you can see if there's some sort of allergic reaction. Typically, if you're going to see something, might be within the hour or so that you might see some redness, hives, itching, what have you. If you're not seeing anything like that, then I would say you can certainly proceed. Just kind of keep an eye out on it. For new types of costumes that are coming out of the bag, probably want to consider washing those first to make sure there are no other chemicals or anything on there that were kind of during transport or what have you. And then just keep an eye on your child. If they're complaining that it's too tight, it's itchy, or they're, you know, scratching or what have you, be very aware of that and then just make sure to remove it safely. We always talk about not applying makeup, face paint around the eyes. The eyes are very, very sensitive. And if you happen to get some makeup in it, it can be oftentimes difficult or laborious to get it out. So it's just best to stay away from the eyes. Other things, go ahead.
What about other things?
Yeah, I was going to say the other issue, you know, that we see too around this time are glow sticks. We see that kind of like a year-round phenomenon, but especially around Halloween and in the fall, there are a lot of holidays where lights and treats are a big part of it, and glow sticks are very, very attractive. They're very cool for kids, and they love working with them and playing with them, but we always want to make sure to keep them out of their mouth, and especially for some of our teenagers and younger adults who might be a little bit more adventurous, you know, not to stick a glow stick into a microwave. It sounds kind of maybe common sense not to do that, but there are many kind of YouTube videos of people actually doing that and it causing problems. Glow sticks in general, if it's
why would someone take a why would someone do it on a YouTube video?
You know, that'd be, yeah, you know, that's a good question. Common sense is not so common, that's what I always say. But you know, glow sticks themselves, when kids get into them, they bite into them, they get it on their hands occasionally, they put their hands in their mouth. The liquid inside, despite the fact that it's glowing and you're thinking, oh my gosh, it's so, you know, kind of freaks you out a little bit, that actually is a pretty low toxicity. If anything, we could see some mild irritation if they get enough of it, maybe some nausea, some vomiting, but this is generally not an exposure or quote-unquote poisoning that necessarily needs to go to the ER. So if anything, you know, just make sure to wash off the hands, give them some water to drink to dilute it if they got any in their mouth, and of course always call your local poison control center if you need further help or information.
Now, how ready is the information on the internet versus... It seems to me it's almost always best to talk to a poison control center. Are they generally available? How common are they? Is there, how many are there in, for example, the state of Washington?
So here in Washington State, we have one poison center which covers all 7 million citizens of Washington State. That also includes 98 hospitals. Nationwide, there are 55 poison centers. Some states like Texas, Florida, New York, and California may have more than one poison center because of the population size, but they're 24/7 and they're free, they're confidential, and they're staffed by nurses, pharmacists, and physicians. So when you call, you know that you're speaking with a licensed healthcare professional who knows exactly what they're talking about and can kind of tell you exactly what you need to know. Because the challenge is a lot of people will go on the internet and will Google or Yahoo this information like, you know, glow stick, my child ate this or what have you. And there's just so much information out there. And sometimes people aren't, you know, don't really know how to interpret it or what's right or what's wrong. So save yourself the trouble of trying to figure that out, you know, and give the poison center a call. It's a toll-free number. It's that 1-800-222-1222. Program it in your cell phone. You never know if you might need it or if you just have a question. That information is readily available right at the end of the phone call.
So again, it's 1-800-222-1222. So you've got to remember it's an 800 number and then three twos, a one, and three twos. So it's pretty easy. I guess, Dr. Gerard, when we come back, let's talk a little bit about this specific question that was asked before to from a listener. A fungicide was sprayed in their apartment this morning, and the female member of the group is pregnant. What do they do about that? The fungicide had benzyl chloride in it. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
I'm here to tell you that Shelton's chickens and turkeys don't do drugs. Now, what does that mean? They're raised without the use of antibiotics or artificial growth stimulants. They're even allowed to walk around in the open space and sunshine, free to scratch at the ground and peck away at whatever takes their fancy. All of Shelton's natural poultry products are made with the finest natural ingredients available. They use no preservatives, flavor enhancers, modified starches, animal protein, or any artificial ingredients. In fact, their ingredient list reads more like home recipes instead of chemistry textbooks. From premium whole turkeys and chickens to chicken breasts and thighs, ground turkey, uncured chicken franks, canned chicken and chili, turkey burgers and meatballs, and the absolute best turkey jerky and sticks on the planet, Shelton's is your go-to poultry brand. If you want certified organic, you can have that too. Look for the Shelton's brand in your natural markets, or to search for one near you, go to Shelton's.com. Shelton's premium poultry is so good, your family will taste the healthy difference.
Do you have a great idea for a radio show but have no idea where to start? Or have you been hosting a podcast for a while and want to take it to the next level? If so, you need the Gab Radio Network. To host a show on the Gab Radio Network, all you need is your voice, and we'll handle the rest. From technical engineering to full-service audio production and much more. Every show on the Gab Radio Network can be heard on our station on the TuneIn Radio app. Plus, we put all of our shows on our satellite, which is accessed by over 5,500 stations. And here's the best part. You can host from anywhere you want. There are many means to connect to the Gab Radio Network remotely, and our staff of highly trained engineers and producers will make you sound like you're right here in studio. So, If you want to be on the Gab Radio Network, the same network that hosts the Small Business Advocate, Radio MD, and the Federalist, send an email right now to sales@gabradionetwork.com. That's sales@gabradionetwork.com.
Antioxidants, you've heard of them, but do you know what they're good for or where to get them? This is Sylvia Escott Stump of the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. Antioxidants, they destroy the free radicals that cause cellular damage, and eating foods that are rich in antioxidants may help prevent cancer and heart disease. These foods include red wine in addition to grape juice, whole grain pasta, eggs, seafood, and canned beans, brightly colored vegetables, carrots, squash, broccoli, all the peppers, sweet potatoes, tomatoes, and kale are other tasty sources. And for those of you with a sweet tooth, good news. Honey, brown sugar, and maple syrup, in addition to fruits like blueberries, cantaloupe, peaches, and strawberries, also contain significant levels of antioxidants. Encouraging you to eat right, I'm registered dietitian Sylvia Escott Stump with the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics.
When Dad needed help getting around, I became his driver. Any daughter would do the same. But soon enough, he needed help doing more things, and it was up to me to be his personal shopper and financial manager, too. And before I knew it, Dad moved in with me, so I became his cook, his personal assistant, his physical therapist, and even his nurse. When I started taking care of Dad, I didn't realize all the roles I'd have to play. But no matter what, I know I'm still his daughter.
We understand the many roles you play. And to help, we created an online caregiving resource center. At aarp.org/caregiving, you can find resources and connect with the caregiving community. Together, we can better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving to learn more. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
There's more of You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Presented by the Radio MD Network.
Here's Dr. Michael Roizen.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. We have a wonderful guest this half hour about Dr. Alexander Garrard, G-A-R-A-R-D. He's the director of the Poison Control Center in the state of Washington and a member of the, and I'll give you the website. It's AAPCC.org. It's the American Association of Poison Control Centers. There are 55 of them. And what I understand, Dr. Garrard, is, and by the way, we did give out the number. If you want to call it, it's 1-800-222-1222. The information you receive is confidential. So if someone is concerned that they're going to be reported to the police or their kid got into something and they're worried about it, this is really confidential, is it not?
It is. It is. This is basically treated like a medical record. So there's that patient-provider relationship with the calls that we take.
Now, because you're in the state of Washington, you in Colorado must have had some interesting experiences with marijuana. Was there an increase? Is there a problem? Is the candy or the edibles a problem for poisoning?
Yeah, you know, since at least here in Washington, retail or recreational marijuana was legalized 2012, and the retail shops opened actually summer of 2014. And what we've kind of been noticing over the years is this gradual increase in the number of cases being called to the poison center that involve marijuana of some sort, whether it's the plant or the edible itself. And last year, we had our highest number yet. We had 246 cases called into the poison center. Now, to put that into perspective, we get about 64,000 calls a year. So it's a very small amount, but it's actually the rate at which the calls had increased that was startling. And we believe a lot of it had to do with the fact that not only is it more readily available because we have retail shops open now selling it, but because people are more comfortable calling, I think it has a lot to do with the fact that it's technically legal in the state. It's still illegal on a federal level, but in the state, marijuana is legal. And so people are no longer really afraid of getting, you know, perhaps, oh, I might get reported to the police if I call about this. A lot of times people are afraid about Child Protective Services getting involved, which, you know, neither of which we're reporting, except where we suspect maybe child abuse or neglect. And that would be with any sort of healthcare provider or individual that works with youth, considered mandatory reporting. So I think in essence, we're capturing more of what was already there to begin with. So it's hard to say whether or not more poisonings are happening or if it's just we have a better sense of the real kind of situation that's happening here in our state.
And now the, what is the, since you've got 64,000 episodes a year, what's the most common thing that is, that poison control gets called for?
Yeah. So, you know, the number one substance that we actually get called on here in our state is acetaminophen, which is an analgesic. You know, it's a pain reliever. It's found in a number of different cough and cold products out there. It's also found in a number of pharmaceutical combination drugs, so things like Lortab, Vicodin. Also goes by the brand name Tylenol, but acetaminophen is just everywhere. And while it's largely very, very safe, you know, people run into trouble when they start combining cough and cold products. And as we're starting to get now here into the fall, the weather's getting colder, flu season's going to be starting, cold season's already kind of working its way around, people are going to be looking at a number of different over-the-counter products that they can use to treat their symptoms. So there's an increased risk for acetaminophen toxicity, which can ultimately result in things like liver failure, organ damage. It can ultimately have very bad results if you get too much of it. So I always recommend that people talk to their local pharmacist if they're not quite sure what to take or if it contains duplicate ingredients. And of course, if they also have questions, we have pharmacists at the poison centers as well. And they can also call and ask us if it's safe or what a recommended dose is.
And now the, so acetaminophen is one of the leading, what's the most unusual, do kids eat cigars or cigarettes? Does ever that come in or is that just not, an issue? And what's the most common thing in the non, drug line that you would get called about for poisoning?
Sure. So, you know, I think one of the things that we're really starting to talk about and see a lot around the country is e-cigarettes and liquid nicotine. And while it may not necessarily rank in the top 10 substances, it certainly is something that a lot of states are really struggling with in terms of how do we regulate it. So, you know, it's the nicotine content that's very concerning, especially in kids. A lot of these products, unfortunately, are not really labeled that great, nor do they have any sort of like child-resistant packaging. So we as providers, especially in the poison center world, are sometimes left with, you know, well, how much did the child actually get into? How much nicotine have they been exposed to? And too much nicotine can certainly cause a lot of weird symptoms. You know, nausea, vomiting, if you get too much of it, can ultimately cause seizures and ultimately death as well. Other things, you know, that are kind of weird that we're seeing, obviously bleach is something that's pretty common that we get into a lot. We find, especially around kids, you know, they're trying to develop that hand-eye coordination. So things like button batteries. Not a pharmaceutical product, but readily available in the fact that there are so many toys out there now. Hearing aid batteries, those can be actually very, very dangerous because they can get lodged in the esophagus. It can actually cause like localized injury and burns, not only because of the chemicals that are in it, but also causes a mild electrical charge to go through that tissue. So button batteries are definitely, if you get a button battery, it's almost always a recommendation to go to the hospital for evaluation. So that's always concerning. The other thing that we're seeing too, laundry pods. I know there's been a lot of discussion nationwide about these laundry pods that are so brightly colored that kids get into, they're attracted to it, they bite into it, and all of a sudden it kind of explodes in their mouth. And generally, you know, we say it's just soap, no big deal. But these laundry pods, somehow they are pretty toxic in kids, can cause definitely things like respiratory depression, so your breathing slows down. These kids are presenting very drowsy. We've had a number of cases where individuals have ended up on a ventilator because they've had some acute lung injury secondary to that laundry pod exposure. So for parents that use these laundry pods, you know, they're great, but keep them up high, lock them away. Don't let kids have any access to them whatsoever because they can also be very, very dangerous.
I didn't realize that they actually explode. So they're not just they don't just dissolve in the water. It's like they're under pressure. They have a liquid
exactly.
In the center that explodes.
Yeah, no, they're definitely under pressure when you feel them, and it's, you know, as soon as it almost kind of comes in contact with water, it just kind of explodes. And so, you know, kids and even some older adults that maybe have, you know, with dementia or what have you, it basically they aspirate it, so it gets into their lungs, which causes a host of, you know, problems, which is why we have some patients ending up on ventilators. So definitely keep those locked away, keep those button batteries out of reach of kids. You know, have that poison center number available. If you have any questions or concerns, you can always get
so
that.
So for tonight, let's remind everyone that the number is 1-800-222-1222. We've been talking with Dr. Alexander Garrard, GARD, Director of the Washington State Poison Control Center, and speaking for AAPCC, the American Association of Poison Control Centers, 2 A's, 2 C's. And remember to call it if you have a problem. Call 1-800-222-1222. Thanks very much. We'll be back next week with a great new show. We got great guests lined up for you. We'll be here.